It's good morning, Oasis Church, and those who have joined us in our living areas, a special welcome to you. It's always great to have just new people in the house, and our heart at Oasis is family. And so we're quite excited about this moment of doing church in our living rooms. It is just a moment. God delights in small group gatherings. He delights in larger gatherings. And so this is a great moment for us just to pause in our larger gatherings and do something different. As I've said all along, that this is our time to cast our nets on the other side. The whole vision of this year is on the other side, and I love that God has forced us into this place because we get to see opportunities and just the goodness of God break out in unprecedented ways. And so I woke up this morning and one of my first encounters was with my daughter, who said, "It's time to sanitize," talking about cleaning our hands. And I just feel like this is a time where God is almost sanitizing us, and that was her word. But cleaning us up, getting us ready, getting us fired up, getting us ready for just the increase and the opportunities that lie ahead. And so let's just pause for a moment and turn our affections on Jesus and pray together. Father, I thank you for your sovereign grace. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you're a God who works within in the impossible. In fact, you delight in the impossible situations because you turn all things to the good. And so we just spend a moment right now just turning our affection upon you, awakening our hearts to the presence of God. We thank you that we're comforted by the word that says that though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will be with us. And so we know that your presence is with us. We know that you are here, that your heart is with us. And we just ask for, even right now, just to acknowledge that you're in the room, that your presence is here, that the Holy Spirit is working deep within our hearts, and we give you honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Great. Well, I do want to send our hearts as leaders to you. We are really just holding you up in prayer. We are aware that there is lots of fear and anxiety, and you may be scared or overwhelmed or just in a difficult spot right now. But I do know that God always shows up in the most unlikely places and the most unlikely times. And so we believe that God is showing up in the midst of this moment. And the book of Acts has kind of been a landing point for us, because the early church, the model of the early church, is something that we can link into and just be encouraged by. And Acts chapter 8, as I've mentioned in previous broadcasts, is a great picture of when the church was still tapped up in one area, Jerusalem, one city. And the Bible says that great persecution broke out against the church. Now, I'm not saying we're in persecution, but I am saying that we are in some type of restriction or lockdown, or there is a kind of global pandemic that has hit our shores. And so it feels like there are restrictions that are being imposed upon us. But I believe that these are the greatest times for us to see the opportunities of God. And just like in those times in Acts chapter 8, there was a moment where the church was scattered, the Bible says, throughout the regions. And I'm believing that as we've moved into homes and across our region, that we're in a similar time where God turned that moment into an opportunity for the church to multiply and grow and become strong and become mature and become a positive influence in society. And so the same thing is happening to us in this moment as believers, as the church, is that as we get scattered and we read the scriptures, God said that that multitudes began to meet with one accord and to listen to the teachings of the gospel. They began to hear words of hope, words of life. Miracles broke out. People were delivered. The paralyzed walked and the lame were healed. And there was just a great movement forward of the kingdom of heaven. And I love the statement that was made in Acts chapter 8, that joy broke out across the city. And I'm just declaring and prophesying that across this region, that as we are almost scattered in different homes, but we are in one accord, just kind of linking together in unity, just understanding the goodness of God, just listening and gathering around the word of God and the teachings of Jesus, that great miracles are going to break out in this moment. In fact, even right now, I believe that God is healing Some of us, God is literally setting us free from heaviness. I had this picture of this cloak over some people and some families. God just lifting that right now. And so we just say yes to that. I sense that there is some, there's some people right now, even in the areas of sight and eye issues, are being healed in this moment, and pain leaving bodies. A sense of even the pain of our souls, you know, things like depression, things like hopelessness, things like the waves of discouragement right now are being lifted off people. And so, Father, we just say yes to those things. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is working right now. And joy is erupting in our city. Joy, joy, joy. We speak that over you right now. And that really is the promise of God for us. And so I do believe this is a good season. I do believe that God is using this. And I believe that church, as we know, is going to multiply and increase and grow. And so we're excited for that. But today I've got a word for us that I believe is key in this time. And it's an example of what it looks like for us to, as the people of God, not to get caught up in the wrong things and the wrong focuses and the wrong heart attitudes, but to position ourselves in a place where we go after the joy of God, where we go after the promise of God, where we step forward into the miracles of God. And the text that we're going to be reading together today is Exodus chapter 14, and it's verse 5 to 16. And just to set the context for that, and we're going to, so you can turn there right now, we're going to read it together. But this was the moment that the Israelites, the people of God, had been radically set free from their slavery and their restrictions and their prisons within Egypt. Now, Egypt represented kind of our old life, the place of where we were bound up in all sorts of things. And so God sent a deliverer, Moses, and his heralding comment was, "Let my people go." And we know that the cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, what Jesus did at Calvary, was the same statement and the same proclamation over our lives. Let my people go. God is concerned with letting us go from all the things that kind of, you know, restrict us, inhibit us, imprison us. And the blood of Jesus has set us free from those places. And so we get to walk into a glorious inheritance. We get to walk into a victorious freedom. And I believe that right now, more than ever, God is calling us to fight from that place of freedom, to live from that place of freedom, to speak from that place of freedom, because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so this journey, this moment in history is for us to press into greater levels of freedom. And the people of God were in this place where they had been set free from Egypt, and God had taken them on a journey. How many of us know that that the goal of our walk with God is for us to enter into greater levels of freedom in our experiential realm? You know, God has set us free. The Bible says that we are free indeed. The work of Christ is full. It's complete. Every spiritual blessing has been released into our heavenly accounts. We are positionally fully restored, fully redeemed, fully free in God. But God wants us to lay hold of that by faith, and in our belief in the finished work of Jesus, we get to manifest more and more of that freedom in our day-to-day walk. And so one of the tools God uses, one of the journeys, is he takes us on a journey where every single step of our journey is to release greater levels of freedom. And so I want you to believe with me that this journey that we're in right now, even this crisis called coronavirus, is actually God highlighting areas that we need to go into greater levels of freedom. And so the people of God were in that place. God led them out of Egypt. And instead of taking them the direct route, we see in Scripture, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although this was near." So in other words, he didn't lead them the easy route. He didn't lead them the kind of logical routes. And sometimes I ask God, well, why can't we just press a button? And we're in the fullness of God. We're in the fullness of every promise. We're living in the fullness of freedom. But we see a picture here that we can't ignore. He said, "For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." Because our past experiences have set up a whole lot of strongholds in our minds, that whenever we face opposition, or whenever we face, difficulties, those past thoughts and those past strongholds always come up against the purposes of God in our lives. And the journey of the wilderness or the desert is actually a journey of learning to let go of our mindsets that we had learned about in Egypt. The mindsets of the strongholds of our thinking that had been built around slavery and lack and shame and unworthiness and all the things that happened as a result of our life not being in Christ. And now we get to confront those things in the desert, because the goal was that as God said, as I lead my people out of Egypt through the desert, that they may worship me. We're learning on this journey called our faith journey to let go of the mindsets of the old, the old paradigms, the old nature. And we're learning to allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of us, to elevate those mindsets to the place where we're believing truth, to the place where we are living according to the mind of Christ. We're living according to the truth of God's word over our life. And so we see that God's intent with leading them to their promised land through the desert was that they would not take the prisons of their internal world into the promised land. So they may have been set free from Egypt externally, but actually they were carrying a whole lot of internal prisons that God wanted to shift out them out of. And that was why he led them through the desert. And so some people look at what we're facing right now and go, well, what is going on? I do believe God is leading us almost through desert periods, because he wants to elevate us from mindsets that don't shrink back to the old nature and the old ways and the old powerless beliefs, but actually mindsets that are built and rooted in the goodness of God, in the finished work of Jesus, and that are powerful and strong to elevate us into the very place of living as kingdom believers, as those who carry the DNA of Christ. And so 1 Corinthians 10:13 gives us the courage that says, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability, but when he tests you, he will also bring about a way out that you are able to endure it. And so we have got the grace of God on our sides. We have got the Holy Spirit leading us through this journey, where he says, I'm not going to let you, as you go through the desert, be tested to the degree to which you don't have the ability to overcome it. And I'm going to provide a way out, a place where you can endure through this process and come out tops, come out in an elevated perspective, come out in a position in Christ that is victorious and powerful. And so that's what God's doing in this season. And so Exodus chapter 14, verse 5 to 16, let's read together. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we may let Israel go from serving us? And so Pharaoh was not happy that the people of God had been set free. And so he made ready his chariots, and he took his people with him. He determined that actually, and you know, the enemy is not happy when we turn towards our freedom and start to believe in the fullness of God's promise of our lives. And so I want to encourage you, don't get caught up in what the enemy is doing. Root yourselves in what God has already done in Christ and what God is about to manifest in the experiential realm because of what Christ has done. And so in this place, he took 600 choice chariots, verse 7, and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Now I want to stop in that moment, because I do believe that right now God is wanting to release an extra and a sustained and a constant boldness over God's people. All the way through the book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit came upon people in the upper room, as people like Peter and John before the Sanhedrin were questioned, were accused, were in all sorts of difficulty, and the Holy Spirit pitched up in those moments. There's an evidence of boldness coming as a result of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And I do believe that right now, even as it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I do believe one of the fruits of a life constantly yielded to the Holy Spirit and to intimacy with the Holy Spirit in prayer and communion is boldness. Because we see every evidence where the Holy Spirit fell, where the Holy Spirit was welcomed into a situation where literally we yielded to the Holy Spirit through prayer and surrender and intimacy and worship. The result was that the believers were full of boldness. And I believe one of the things that we see in the scripture is that as God led his people through towards their promise, towards the fullness of Christ inside of them, is that the more they yielded to God, the more they yielded to the Holy Spirit through prayer, the greater boldness that was on their lives. And I'm feeling like this is the moment where God, as we pray together, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we are intimate with God, this is the moment that God is going to release us into a greater boldness as we speak the word, as we release truth into the world around us. And so boldness is something God's calling us to. Let's continue reading. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, this horsemen and their army. They overtook them camping by the sea besides these places. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Let's stop there for a moment too, as we just go after a few things through this verse. One of the things that I do believe that God is calling us to as a people is to watch what we behold. It's to watch what we lift our eyes to. It's to watch what we focus on. Because everything in the kingdom, his full work, his power, his provision, his promises, everything that we call the grace of God, it's the fullness of Christ. It's the fullness of God that Christ has activated for us. It's every spiritual blessing that has been given to us. The key that we see in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through Jesus. This is the key part. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so this grace, the full provision of God, every spiritual blessing, it's the full place of peace and safety, and it's the full provision of God. It's the place of where we see the full expression of God's nature in our lives. All of this is accessed through faith. Now, let's think about that for a moment. If everything in the kingdom is accessed through faith, don't you think that the way the enemy is going to work, and we see in this situation, is to try and intimidate us into shifting our focus so that we are no longer hearing and seeing through the lens or the focus of faith, but now we are overcome by fear? One of the things that this epidemic or this pandemic, this whatever you want to call it, this virus, one of the things that we're seeing is it's causing mass fear to grip the hearts of people. Now, it was the same thing in this situation in verse 10, is that as the people of God, it says they lifted their eyes and behold, they saw this army marching against them. The first thing that happened is they shifted their focus off of what God had promised them, and now they became overcome by fear. I believe that one of the things that God is calling us to right now is to allow faith to be the focus point. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And so if we're going to be those that access the grace of God by faith, we've got to be sure that we're hearing the right report, we're hearing the right word, we're hearing the right conclusions that God is speaking over us, and we're not being open to the reports of the enemy. It's the time that we need to start hearing a higher perspective. We need to be those that tune into the voice of God. We need to be those that tune into the rhema word of God. What is God saying over this situation? What is God saying over my life? What is God saying over my community right now? What is God saying over my family? Because if we don't tune our antennas into the right voice and into the right reports and into the right conclusions, what ends up happening is that we cannot access fully the grace of God, because faith is the access point for that. And so right now, God is looking for a people who choose to focus on the right things. We choose to focus on the fruits instead of the giants. Just as the people of God, the spies were sent out, the 12 of them, 10 focus on the giants, 2 focus on the fruits. The 2 that focus on the fruit were the ones that entered fully the grace of God. that enter fully the promised land. We need to be those that are focusing on the promises of God more than the facts around us. Now, I'm not saying we live in denial, but I am saying that we live with a greatly influenced by what God has said than what the media has said around us. And so I'm saying to us, are we aware of the promises of God and the testimonies of God in this season more than we are the facts around us? It's the moment that we fix our eyes on things above, not on earthly things. It's the moment that the gospel calls us to that place of lifting up. Lift up your eyes. Behold, let the light of God shine in the midst of this place. Even that scripture that we've declared often, that in your light we see light. Because in the presence of God, we start to see something different. And so I want to call our church into a place where we start to allow our beholding, the hearing by faith and the seeing by faith and the focus, the perspective of God to become louder and stronger than any other perspective. So how do we do this? There's a great a quote by Corrie ten Boom, a great woman of God, who says, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within yourself, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. I'm going to say it again because this is powerful. If you look at the world and the circumstances around you, you'll be distressed. And many of us right now may be stressed out because we're looking at all the circumstances. We're looking at the impact on our business. We're looking at the impact on our families of this virus. We're looking at maybe the impact of possibly, you know, what this may do to the church and all those things. We're looking at all the facts around us, and it's causing stress and anxiety. If you look within, you'll be depressed. Introspection, I think, is the enemy of meditation, meditating upon God, because it looks at all the areas of lack in our lives, all the areas of shame, all the areas of, I just don't have what it takes, I'm just not strong enough, I just can't do this thing. It looks at those things, and the result is we get depressed. Because God's never called us to introspect, He's called us to meditate upon Him. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. And I love that position because God has called us to fix our eyes on Jesus. God has called us for the joy set before us to endure. Just like Jesus, we set our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. We lift up our attention to God. And the greatest way that I can encourage us to do this is to spend more time in praise than we ever have before. Praise is the opportunity for us to lift our attention upon God. It's to allow the affections of our hearts to be put on God, on the finished work of Jesus, what God has accomplished for us. We lift our eyes upon Him. You know, the Bible says that God has given us the garment of praise, the place of praise instead of heaviness. And I do believe that as we begin to praise, even as we praise this morning, as we link into a lifestyle of praise, heaviness breaks off us. And we know that God dwells in the praises of His people. So that's the dwelling place of God. And so I want to encourage us to spend our days, to spend the early parts of our morning, the parts of our nights in praise. Turn some worship music on and let our hearts be praised and lifted up, because that's the position where we come into rest. And as we come into rest, that's the place where God begins to bear fruit in our lives. The Bible says, abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. Our fruitfulness is connected to our rest. It's not connected to our activity. And so praise needs to be the weapon that we use right now. Praise needs to be the position of our hearts. Let's continue in verse 11. Let's see what else God wants to say to us. Are you guys all right? Are you cool? We're gonna mine out some more truth here to encourage and strengthen us in this season. Verse 11 says, then they said to Moses, then all the people decided to come to their leader. And he said, and here's the grumbling moments. Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Sounds a bit pessimistic, doesn't it? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this a punishment? Is this your mean streak coming out? And many of us in this moment may be tempted to believe that somehow God is punishing us, or maybe somehow God has led us to this place to destroy us. And I want to say that, as we see in the scripture, that's not the case. The nature of God and the nature of the Father that we so love and that we so our hearts are so turned towards is that He's a good dad. That He will not tempt us or test us that which we cannot bear. He turns all things to the good. He leads us in victory and triumph. He's a good Father who is desperate to showcase that He has our best interests at heart. So here the people of God were caught up in a bit of a doubt phase and a bit of a negative spiral. And they continue to say, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to come out here and die in the wilderness. I want to stop for a moment because I do believe God wants to speak to us about all of these real emotions and things that you may be feeling. You know, the easiest thing that we do in times of difficulty and trial is we often look for somebody or someone to blame. God usually is the first one. We see that God's people were doing this. You know, is this what you had in mind? Were there not enough graves around that you brought us up here into the wilderness to die? And so one of the things we have to confront in our lives is this temptation to blame and shift responsibility onto somebody else or something else. Because the minute we do that, and I think it's a natural tendency in all of us, and we see the people of God trying to shift the responsibility of going through the desert and going through this difficult time and allowing God to elevate their perspectives and bring them into a greater level of freedom, they wanted to blame Moses for this. And it's quite easy for us to do that. We want to look to blame our government. We maybe look to blame